The Sunday Morning Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA.
The Ticket.
Welcome back to the Playground right here on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. The Ticket. I am Jeff Childs. Alongside me, Tony L. Sorry about Josh Zink and Matt Mizler. They both took the day off because they didn't want to come in. Or is that the opposite, Miz?
I think it's the opposite.
The opposite. Jeff Childs had a family matter. And
yep.
Antonio just decided not to show up.
Again, I think Tony O just didn't have any shorts.
Didn't have any shorts. He's wearing shorts every time. It's too nice. He had to wear pants. So let's talk Michigan baseball. We haven't talked about it in the M zone, but they only lost a few players last year. A couple years ago, they won the actual Big Ten tournament, which was kind of a shock, but there's reasons going into it. But for people who just look at books and go, oh, Michigan won that, there's reasons why they got to where they did through that. But that was 2 years ago. Last year, they didn't have the season they wanted. This year, they started off Friday, and they took on Seton Hall in the first game. They lost 5-4 in that game. Oliver Jaski went four innings, giving up four earned runs, five hits, three walks, and four strikeouts. He faced 19 batters and 84 pitches he threw. Trey Buecher came in after that, went three innings, two hits, one run. It was earned, four walks and three strikeouts. Jack Bredsen went one inning, and Jackson Lamb also went one inning, giving up one run. Trey Buecher gave up the actual, he actually had the loss on it, on the game. Only seven hits for the Wolverines in that game. Akio Thomas, it's his second year with the Wolverines, 2-for-5 with an RBI. Drew Lugberger, Lugbauer, I'm going to have to get used to saying that, played third base, went 2-for-4. And then Jimmy Kerr, Michael Berter, and Nick Poirier both had one hit apiece in the game for seven. Nick Poirier, I believe, did have the home run in the game, but another start to the season for the Wolverines. And then they also played yesterday, and I believe they won 8-7 in that game.
8-7 was the final for the first game between the two teams. Looking at the box score for Michigan right now, Thomas 0-for-5, but he did get an RBI in that contest. Jake Bivens 0-for-5. Drew Lugbauer, you said you were having a problem with. He had two strikeouts in the game. The big guy that actually had a big game for himself was Harrison Wentz, in the catcher. Went 3-for-4, plated four, had one RBI, walked once, struck out once. He had himself a day yesterday. But really the big one that had the most RBIs was Jonathan Engelman, who plays right field, 3-for-4 as well with three RBIs in that contest. 8-7 the final. The second game that they played was actually delayed. They started it yesterday, completed it today, and that actually game just went final about 5 minutes ago. Michigan takes it 10-7 in that contest against Seton Hall. They'll play game four in a matter of moments down in Florida.
All right, so good luck to the Michigan baseball team. We'll get more into that as the season goes along, maybe learn about some of those players. But they didn't lose that many players. This is a team that should be able to get back to that Big Ten title if really stuff works out for them. Injuries hampered them a couple years ago, but I believe they're back on track to where they want to be as Coach Backages and his players, they're down in Florida taking on Seton Hall. So good luck to them. Now let's talk some Detroit Tigers as they are back in camp. So I want to talk about maybe the winter first. The winter started off, they were going to trade everyone. Get ready. Everyone's going to be traded. You're going to have to buy all new jersey shirts because there's going to be no need for them because Verlander's gone, Cabrera's gone. All these guys are gone. And we're selling them all because we want to cut that. And then what happens? They go to the winter meetings, and winter meetings pretty much everybody wants to kind of take more than they're willing to give. There's very few teams that were willing to give younger guys, actual good younger guys, for some of these guys. And what happened is they didn't really make anything. There was very few moves made. Cameron Maben was the one guy that they were going to cut pretty much anyways. It was a $1 million buyout. I think $9 million if they're going to keep him. So that was one of those guys that they thought maybe he had a fluke season last year, and they were going to let him go ahead and probably going to cut him. So they looked for a trade. They got an actual prospect for him from the Angels. And that was it. That was really it. Other than that, the last month really kind of irked me. And so I was waiting to see what they were going to do as a backup catcher. We know McCann's the guy, and he's going to be the guy for a while, and I think he's going to end up being a good catcher for the Tigers. Some guy by the name of Alex Avila was on the market, and same time as last year's backup catcher who had an awesome April and May, Jared Saltamacchia. So instead of going ahead and re-signing Saltamacchia, giving him a little bit of raise from $1 million to $1.25 million, they said, well, we'll look elsewhere. And he's out there, but he stayed out there for a while. And one Avila talked to another Avila and said, you know what, Dad, I kind of want to come back and play for the Tigers. Now, instead of saying, all right, well, you're horrible. You have done nothing in the majors in some time. We're only going to give you $1 million. Nope, they're going to bump that up. They're going to give him $2 million to play, be the backup catcher, because last year's backup catcher just only had a good April and May, and we need someone that's just not going to have a good season whatsoever. So they got Alex Avila back.
Considering we didn't really pay Salty either.
Well, yeah, $1 million for a year. Well, even then,
the Marlins kind of covered most of his pay anyway. So, I mean, it was kind of, you know, like chump. It was kind of pocket change for us to pay him for that year.
Right. So they go ahead and get Avila signed up, and he's now a Detroit Tiger once again. So you can bring your Avila jersey shirts out that you bought after he went to the All-Star game, and wear those again proudly. Because they decided to sign him. Saltamacchia says, all right, well, I guess I got to find somewhere else to go because the Tigers aren't obviously bringing me back. He signs with Toronto for $1.2 million. So that was a dumb move made by the Detroit Tigers on that. The second dumb move they made is center fielder. Who's playing center fielder for the Tigers, Miz?
That's a good question.
That's a very good question because they could have signed someone, a free agent, and signed to that million-dollar minor league contract with an invite to spring training. They did make that Mikey Mahook. They brought him in from Tampa Bay, but still, is he going to be the everyday guy out there? Well, there's two guys on my radar that I thought the Tigers should maybe pick up. One, Austin Jackson. The other one, Raji Davis. Raji's going to cost a lot because of what he did in the World Series for Cleveland, and more likely he's going to re-sign with Cleveland. Well, he ended up going to Oakland. So I said, all right, that's fine. I understand. Tigers are looking to cut payroll. It's hard to say. Mr. Ilitch wants them to cut payroll. And because of that, because stuff's going to keep climbing, it's only going to get worse as the years go on. So Austin Jackson's out there for $1 million. More likely, you don't got to sign him to that major league deal. He's been injured for a lot of last season. But that's what you do. You go ahead and sign the guy and hope that you give him all these incentives. And you hope that he gains those incentives. You don't want him to, but at the same time, you want him to because that means he's having a great season. Well, he signs with the Cleveland Indians. And the Cleveland Indians probably did it because they saw the Tigers. It was a good landing spot for him. And we all know how he left Detroit in the middle of an inning. He was pulled from the game because he was told he was been traded. And most of the people in the stands, most of the people watching the game, knew he was traded before he knew he was traded. Not saying that he didn't have people talking to him before it happened, but when you get, hey, center fielder, get in here. Wait, what's going on? It's middle of the inning. You've been traded. That doesn't happen that often. Usually, guys that are talking about being traded don't play that game until, you know, that way you don't risk injury to that player. So I thought Austin came back. The crowd would love it because it was kind of one of those odds seeing him leave. But yes, Cleveland Indians sign him, give him an invitation, keep him away from Detroit. Now Detroit's left with a bunch of bums because Anthony Goh's no longer on the team. I mean, he is, but he isn't. He was sent back down to AAA after clearing waivers. This is how bad he's done, and I believe it's his attitude more than his actual batting swing. But
you
it's
just
close.
Made the list.
Who else do they have? They have Jacoby Jones, who I don't believe his bat is ready. He could play center field. So they're looking for a center fielder out there, and if you can play center field, let the Tigers know because they will use somebody. They always have to start the year with somebody, but I thought, all right, you're keeping all these big name guys that you couldn't trade because you weren't willing to get, you know, you weren't getting fair market value back for. So I said, second place right now, second place, because you wait till July. Indians are far above where you're at. And you, if you're in second place, you keep those guys and you try to go ahead and get the AL Central crown. Yeah. I now put them down to third. Kansas City Royals, they've signed like 18 starting pitchers, it seems like. They're not worried about their starting pitching, where I think the Tigers are. Anibal Sanchez, people are saying he's going to have a good year this year. I don't know where you see that from. Where are you getting that from? Anybody that says Anibal Sanchez will have a great year, I want to know where you actually think that is. He's going to have a great spring. Yeah, when you're batting, you know, when you're pitching against guys that won't make the roster, guys with no names on the back of their jersey, you're going to have a great spring. But coming up here, you're going to have Verlander. We know he's already been named the opening day starter. You'll have Zimmerman, hopefully. He's still working his way back from injury. Michael Fulmer is a great pitcher, and if you're a fantasy guy and you see Michael Fulmer out there, you need to grab him because he's far beyond his years as a pitcher. But after that, it kind of falls away. You have Matt Boyd, who shows flashes but also shows that he can have 7 runs scored on the board before he has one out. You also have Daniel Norris. He's the next, Mark the Bird Fidrich. And he gets pulled away a little bit too. So we're looking for a fourth, fifth starter. There are some guys out there. I know the guys moving up in the system, but do you want to move those guys up there this fast when you still have a full season, if not more, to get under their belt? Fulmer, I thought, needed more seasoning. He came up there and he's done very well. So I'm not saying that the Tigers won't work with it, but Sanchez, do you want him? I don't want him starting. I don't care what you're paying him, and I know the Tigers do. One last thing I want to say about the Tigers. Right now I have them in third place in the Central. I think if it comes July and they're in third place, you will see trades must happen. You have to go out there and get those minor leaguers back, no matter how great prospects they are or not. You're not going to land, those top guys. Andrew Benintendi is not coming over from Boston, no matter how hard you tried to push for him this season, because Boston got Chris Sale. More likely, Dombrowski talked to Vila and said, what about Verlander? What would you trade for Verlander? The price was way too high. That's why they ended up talking to Chicago instead and getting Chris Sale from them, which Boston is now my leader to win the World Series because their pitching unit. They got Cy Young winner Porcello, a guy that was on the Tigers that they pushed out because he was a fourth, fifth starter that was just not good enough. But he won a Cy Young. Chris Sale, David Price, and then the rest of the guys, Buchholz, who had an off year last year. But there's some things that can be done. Tigers, it's going to be one of those lost things. It's going to be like the Michigan basketball team I look at because you're going to kind of want them to win, but some of those games are just going to get hammered. You're like, I don't know, I'm a fan of this team, and then you're going to go back and forth with them. That's the Tigers this year. So put on your seatbelt, get ready. Third place is where I have them right now. Kansas City's above them because Kansas City has, I think, 7 or 8 starting pitchers going into the season. Even one of their prospects they thought about having start, they pretty much said, yeah, we want you as a starter. We like you as a starter, but we're going to go ahead and just set back because we don't need you as a starter right now because all the guys we just signed. And Cleveland is just Cleveland. So Cleveland, Boston, thus the AL side of things. I think those are the two best teams.
What do you got out of the West?
Out of the West? Oh, that's always. I think Texas will do very well. They have Hamels, Yu Darvish. Darvish just was throwing his split finger the other day, and it kind of scared some of those guys because they thought this guy's only 1 year out of pretty much having the Tommy John surgery, and he's already throwing something that they say put so much strain on the elbow. When they saw him throw it, they were almost in disbelief that he did it. And for him to be comfortable with it, because Darvish would not do anything he's not comfortable with. So from what I'm hearing on that, if he's throwing that, he must feel 100%. Texas would be my West leading team because of just the power and the stuff they have there. And plus, going there in the heat, it's horrible. It is straight up horrible. Oakland, they'll be up there, but they're always that team I feel can get above there, but it's money ball and they end up falling back down. So Texas will be number one. L.A., we'll see what happens with the Angels. I know Pujols had the surgery over the year. We'll see if he's able to make it back by spring training. And Seattle has great starting pitching. They have some good hitters, but it's Seattle. And that's the way it is. So I'll go Texas on that side, those three. But at the end of the year, Boston wins the World Series. So we'll wait, put on your seatbelts, get ready for the Tiger season. It starts very soon. And, obviously we'll be talking a lot more about that either on the M Zone or right here on the playground because, obviously, like Marcus and Jamie, those guys are football guys. This season, it's tough sometimes. come up with topics and that. That's why they're happy about the basketball team doing so well. But all right, let's take a break. That's your Tigers baseball from Josh Zinke himself. When we come back, Jeff Childs says he wants to talk Michigan hockey. So we'll wrap up the show talking Michigan hockey with Jeff Childs right here on the Playground.